Quantum Foam, Episode 15, Leap Day.
Quantum Foam.
Physics. Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
forces which govern the universe.
That would be pretty interesting. It's just, you might hear a little wind or something. I don't know if you can actually create a wind breaker and then set up the mic and then set up the power supply and then set everything up there at your picnic table or in the grass or whatever. But I suppose that would be the only way to actually enjoy this nice Saturday that's probably the nicest Saturday of the whole year, because it's leap day and this is leap year and today is leap day. So this day does not happen but once every 4 years, and there won't be another Saturday for another 28 years, because apparently 4 times 7 is 28, which is very weird, but apparently that's the case. The way that leap year works is as such. You would think it wouldn't work like that because other things don't seem to work out like that. You might have 1 year where you have a day on a Friday and the next day it's a Saturday, but then the next day isn't a Thursday. The next year isn't a Thursday. So certain things do certain patterns that you can't quite follow in a normal human brain. But sometimes if you think about something quickly, or you know how to think about something, you can get a date right on a certain year, because you can be like, what's 1921 Saturday because of the stock market crash on a Monday? So kind of look. You do all this stuff to figure out when it was.
So, kind of look.
8 years previous, 21, 100-year map. There are ways to figure out certain things. You just have to know how to do it. Like a magic trick, there's a certain secret to that magic trick, and once you know it, it's not so magical anymore, is it? So that is essentially what we're doing here, and I figured no better time or day.
Where are you even at?
The place would be cool. I was just speaking about that, being outside, enjoying the day, and recording. But how about we just skip that and speak about the information, and I do it from my desk here inside, because there's no wind, there's no sound, there's no interference. I have my food here. I have my medicine here. Whatever you want to say to make yourself feel better. But the fact of the matter is, people do medicine. People eat. People take drugs. People take food. People eat shit. People talk shit.
Kiss my ass, you wanker.
And if you don't shut your fucking mouth when you're talking to me, I'm gonna make you take a shit.
Doesn't make sense, bro.
You wait and see. I will preach to a choir that is in your head, and will force you to take drugs, and put you in front of a screen for 12 hours, and torture you in this manner, like the US military, and see how you feel about it, and torture you in this manner. But I digress.
Good.
Leap year was set up because...
because no one could agree on what calendar was going to be the main, official calendar, and who would get to decide what, and who would enforce what. Calendars had to do with tax schedules. Don't forget that, even back then. Especially back then.
Right. There are many problems with our calendar, even our current calendar, which is the Gregorian calendar. Occasionally, I say Julian calendar, but it's really not. The Gregorian calendar was sort of designed with the Julian calendar in mind, but there were problems with that calendar. If you're talking about a specific calendar, the Gregorian calendar or the Julian calendar, you really do mean a certain type of calendar and a certain age, but it's still the same calendar. So sometimes you misspeak, and don't take it as be-all, say-all when somebody says this type of calendar, but a calendar is a quote-unquote calendar. We're keeping track of time, days, and it's dealing with the rotation of the Earth and the revolution of the Earth around the Sun. And so these are sort of things that everybody can see, obviously. So, you know, most calendars go off of the revolution of the Earth around the Sun, etc., etc. The days, the night and day cycles, the seasons, the leap year, the equinox, the solstice, all that kind of stuff. Summer, spring. And so it takes our Earth right now, according to our calculations, 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 46 seconds. Across normal timekeeping procedures.
There are a lot of things I could say about this time thing, but I don't want to get off topic. Suffice it to say that you guys are all lucky sons of bitches that you have pretty damned accurate timekeeping devices. We had to use fucking water and sand and other bullshit methods to relate time.
So, according to our atomic clock located a certain spot on the Earth, and the Earth located in a certain solar system in our galaxy, and our certain galaxy in our local group of the Milky Way galaxy, and our particular galaxy within our supercluster. So, at that point, it doesn't matter because we're so far away from there. We might be missing something. We are missing something because there is some space-time warpature between normal rules of angular momentum and conservation of angular momentum and conservation of energy. And and other physics that we understand. Basically, the spirals we see and the speed that the stars are moving in the center and the ones that are moving towards the outer edge, they should be similar, save a certain ratio. Faster speed on the outside, slower speed on the inside, according to a revolution around a center, a circle, a galaxy that's spinning around. So what is going on? There's something coming out of the supermassive black hole in the middle. There's something going into it. We're missing something somewhere. There's dark energy and there's dark matter. They are different.
Dark matter pushes toward gravity, and dark energy has a repulsive quality about it. Just remember those two things.
Well, according to those two things, those are neither here nor there, but pretty much according to some of the lead guys in the field, the loop quantum gravity guy, Carlo Rovelli, he seems to think it's not so mysterious, this energy. It's as a result of the cases of general relativity that we see. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not going to go into that right now because we could go into a whole show about that, but keeping it to the point here and how it deals with time and the leap year and stuff, there are lots of things that deal with the ideas, but they're not really dealing with our current topic, which is leap day. So we don't really need to get into leap day, dark energy, leap day, and how it's not fine-tuned or not unnatural, according to the guy. As a whole, I think that crowd knows what they're talking about, so we'll just leave it at that. But rest assured that we are trying to understand this dark energy and dark matter problem. And as far as we know, it's not necessarily related to our little issue here of leap day and keeping track of a calendar here on Earth. Galactic calendars are a lot more complicated than that. We can't even figure this one out, so go figure. But if you do say that energy is matter and matter is energy, then they're the same. However, what we're referring to is something with mass that affects our other physics that we don't understand. So that's why we call it dark matter. This dark energy stuff is just something else, a force that we don't understand where it's coming from, but there is extra stuff. And we right now cannot account for the leftover normal matter from the beginning of the universe. Why did the antimatter and normal matter annihilate itself all the way down to the point where there was just some matter left? And then they got spread out way out so far that it was as though it was spontaneously random that the matter that created us in our world and our essences came together to do so. So it seems pretty amazing that this happened, because obviously it did, because we're here asking the question. But what about this Fermi paradox? Where are all the aliens? Why can't we see any? I just attribute that to there may not be any. But if there are, maybe we're just too far forward or too far back in time for that particular species to either care or attempt to care in trying to communicate with us. Maybe their version of time is looking at us in a direction where they're looking back in time at us. And so sending a message back in time simply isn't possible for them. It may be possible, we don't know.
Me and Hawking have had some discussions. Let me tell you.
There may be a way to send information through spatial dimensions when it's in the form of a radio wave instead of a piece of paper that says text. So that's a corporeal version of displaying information for a purpose to somebody, to us. Quadragesima. I have a feeling that's another word.
Nope. Let's get back to the leap day and calendar stuff.
But there was a reason for them to keep track of time in the way that they did, because it needs to be done in a way that mathematically can be figured out at a later date. And so different calendars were made over different years. And the fact is, we look back and we say, oh, in the year 500 BC, this Greek person did this. And it's like, they didn't write that back then. They didn't write 500 BC. How do they know that Christ was going to be born around the year zero and stuff? And even then, it's got to be a little off. And we'll take a look at that as well. But I was studying history at the university. I saw a list of all these timelines. Okay, what timeline is what compared to what? It's all relative. Just like the relative size of the amount of material in a certain weight, Avogadro's number.
6.023 by 10 to the 23rd power. The number of atoms and molecules in one quote-unquote mole of material matter of a substance.
It's the same thing as the natural integral. Basically, the reason why those things work out is because we don't know why things are calculated in a certain way. We just create a constant, and that constant we created is the growth rate, and we don't know why the growth rate is equal to E equals 2.71828182846659, or something like that. 2.71828182846659. And why is the ratio of a golden rectangle that creates a golden spiral that's built off of the Fibonacci number sequence sequence, why does it create a spiral that looks like this? It's not an Archimedes spiral. It's a golden spiral. And you have to understand the ratios in order to make it. 1 to 1.618. So basically 1 to 1.6. And so it's a little rectangle that's a little bigger than a square that's 1 to 1. Whatever your unit is, 1 feet, 1 is 1.6 feet. And so you can draw a spiral from the beginning, from the center of the little tiny area. You just got to know where to start at. But once you look at what's already been drawn, you can do it. This can be described to even you. But it may not make a difference except that it actually describes the general shape of our entire galaxy. So there must be some fucking reason why we're within this structure that appears like it's spinning at these rates. And yet it's the same thing as a growth rate. So the amount of rabbits that can be born follows this. The amount of combinations of ways you can step up the stairs follows this.
I bet you got all of that from reading that book by Mario Livio, The Golden Ratio. Published in 2002.
The leaves that grow on every tree tend to spin up in a way that follows this ratio. It spins around the stalk at a ratio of this per this per this, and it follows the Fibonacci number sequence. So why is this? There are certain reasons for all this stuff, and it may have to do with time and what time it takes to grow for the sun to go around the earth to the next day to make it appear as though it does that and become another day. Night, day, night, day, night, day. Day, night, day, night, day, night. 3 months. Fall. 3 months. Winter. 3 months. And so all of this stuff basically has to do with the time. And so while we're looking at this time issue, we originally looked at our time problem. We know that time is a problem because how you keep time is a problem. The way that the atomic clock works, the way that all of our clocks work. Now, if we find a better way that can keep track of time, we will. Somebody's trying to figure it out, and so am I. People are trying to figure this out. So has it been another 400 years to where we need to come up with another calendar again? We don't know. But chances are we're not changing anything because it'd be too confusing. If we do change anything, we're going to just change the way our computers treat these numbers because there is a such thing as like a leap year bug.
The crazy fucking thing is, Robinhood, that application on the phone, the one where you can trade stocks during the day, it was down the following Monday because of a leap day bug. A real software bug. Totally did actually happen.
Just means that in your computer programs or in your figuring yourself, you try to calculate what a year would be, how many days would be in it, and you forget to take into account the leap year thing. So if you actually really want to do precise math, you need to be using 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, 46 seconds. But there's no reason why you really need to know that unless you're actually doing the calculations. So just say 365 days or 365.25 days. It's close enough. But like I said in a previous thing, I was right when I said 365.24 some shit. It is some shit like that. It's 12 minutes short of an hour. It's 11 minutes, 14 seconds short of an hour, short of 0.25.
From day to day, that doesn't matter.
Regardless, we use the Gregorian calendar now, and every 4 years, we add a day in February called Leap Day. And it's the same day, and so...
What about, what's his name?
He was not born on a leap year, so there was no way he would have been born on a leap day. So people who only have birthdays once every 4 years, does that mean that instead of 16, they're 4? No, they're still that many years old, but you just shift the way you're counting it one day. And so somebody born in 84 on this day could just shift it one day to our state's birthday and our old cat's birthday. It's a common day, March 1st. The first day of March, yada yada. So there are other reasons why calendars have went through different phases over the years. A lot of them are not really that important. We go back to the early Roman calendars.
Hey, be careful not to hit your mic stand.
We go back to the early Roman calendars. Let's see, that Numa Pompilius, they had one with 355 days. It wasn't even a lunar calendar. They did things like leap month and just other bullshit that didn't work. These have been written by, there's a 3rd century writer who wrote about it, and he's talking about adding 22 or 3 days to make shit right in February. So there were different ways that they did this in the past, but that's why we kind of say the Julian calendar, that's about the one that started on the day of Christ. And so certain calendars start on the 1st and such. So a good time to put this is the 29th. It's essentially a 24th through the 29th thing. So there are different countries that treat different things differently, but ultimately we're all talking about the same thing.
The Julian Reform.
The entire world is aware of this leap day thing, and generally when you are translating certain things like money and everything that goes with it, the correct people are translating the correct times for everybody. We're used to dealing with the time issue. We understand that our countries may go about it this way and the other ones may go about it that way. They use this UTC thing, universal time, and so that's what everything is based off of. However, there are people that like to use the GMT, mean Greenwich time, pretty much Europe, London.
They are similar to the UTC, but if you're talking about technical amounts of time, I think it can vary by upwards of a second or 0.9 seconds or something. And so what? Okay, we don't really, you just got to know these things if you're dealing with them. But if you're not, then don't worry about them.
Kind of an interesting topic. It's an amazing thing to be able to have time synchronized with the seasons mathematically. But I still say that they are likely still off on how they keep track of time. What about that stuff coming out of quantum chromodynamics? Time may be able to essentially be absorbed into the independent background of space-time. Such an odd thing to contemplate.
All right, we are about halfway through
episode 15, Leap Day.
Of quantum foam.
Of mental quantum foam.
What?
But there are many reasons for doing this system, because in the past, people's crop rotations would get off, things would be a week off, things would be a month off, next thing you know, whole seasons are off. They need to have a further in-depth look to figure out a way to come up with a better system, and that is what they did when they created the Gregorian calendar.
So those leap year babies can just change their date to something that works for them. So there's also different things like legal statuses and different repercussions and problems that this causes.
Give an example.
Let's say I discovered this before you did.
But I told everybody in the world, and then you heard on the other side of the earth, and it's actually March 1st over there right now. Sooner than here, it'll be March 1st over there. So I say, yeah, I found this thing. Look up. It's there. And then the other person says, I did too. And then they write it, and they put the date down, and their date's before mine. So legally, they found it before me, even though they heard it from me. The international dateline, it's the next day. Well, who says? Well, they say. And the rest of the world listens to them somewhere over there. And so who's to say what is right and what is not right? But if we all agree on the same thing, at least we can talk about the same thing. So that is sort of the point here. And so there is only so much we can discuss with this stuff, except we can look up some other years of what day these were on. And so in 2016, February 29th was on a Monday, 12 was a Wednesday, 8 was a Friday, 4 was a Sunday, 2000 was a Tuesday, 96 was a Thursday. On further back, we don't care about, because we were not alive. Actually, we were. Actually, you young kids were not. This was last millennium, so don't worry about it. No, you might need to know just this part. This February 29th shit is the 60th day of the Gregorian calendar. So there are other calendars like the Chinese calendar.
They have beasts for each year.
The year of the dragon, that was a leap year. It's the fifth of the 12 cycles of animals that appears in the Chinese zodiac. There are different names and symbols that go with that, but...
Hey, fuck, Dad. You're being too loud in there.
Fucker. If you don't like it, you can shut this fucking shit off right now. Or you can turn it back on and become enlightened for a change.
I suppose.
So sit down, grab your drink, fill up your cup, and set the fuck down and listen up. Yeah, I'm talking to you too. Most of this stuff is irrelevant, but it's sort of something you need to know.
Yeah, I'm talking to you too.
Because we're dealing with astrophysics here.
Has to do with the Earth rotating as well.
Orbital revolution speeds are things that cause certain timelines to be the way they are. It's very important. We are under the impression that we are going to find out some new information in a couple years once we can see further back in time with a different wavelength using the IR stuff, JWST. So once we can see potentially further back between 400,000 years to the first 3 minutes, if we can see what's there, we may be able to have an indication of why we are supposed to see proton decay and why we're supposed to not. We're going to do an episode on that one at some point. I mean, I was aware of the thing, but I kind of forgot about it. We don't see this stuff. It's one of those theoretical things. I don't really pay attention to the standard model that much. There's a lot of fake stuff in there. There's a lot of made up bullshit.
Fucking Y, an X, an L.
Okay, this shit we don't see, so it's just a fake piece of shit that we don't see.
Yeah, some of it should have been seen at the big collider.
Some of the stuff we should see, we will see, and some of it we don't. They're just made up to talk about a concept. I don't find it helpful to come up with other bullshit concepts that other people came up with that have no relevance to the real world. And yes, I'm talking about the standard model, but the fucking model's not complete.
It's finally complete!
Yeah, it's a complete model of incomplete concepts.
It's finally complete!
It's a complete model of an incomplete description. It's a complete model of an incomplete description of
our universe. So, take it with a grain of salt. It ain't completely right. Neutrinos. There should be gravitons. We should see proton decay. We don't know if supersymmetry is a thing. We can't see it. We can't test this until we jack up another set of teraelectron volts, so we can know how fast a particle has to go before it smashes into another one. And if we shoot a bunch of particles, then it's bound to hit one or two of them, and then we can calculate the trajectories once they split apart. And so, what happens if you split apart a fundamental particle? We don't know. What if it creates a black hole into another universe, and then it zips out of existence? Because according to Stephen Hawking's math, that's what it does and what it did. So, what happens when it doesn't do this, and it does something else, like teleport, or rips a hole in space-time and ruins the world? We don't have the ability to manipulate power on this level. We are not even a level 1 society, let alone a level 2 or 3 society. So you would need to be one of those higher levels in order to manipulate space-time in this manner. I think you would have to be the highest of a level 3. You essentially would be a cue able to go in and out of our dimension at will for you to be able to do this. You would have to be a quote-unquote god.
Q. The Star Trek Q.
In our universe, in our space-time region. However, we don't have those here. There's only the one that there is, and they don't care about the small menial bullshit that we're talking about here. Essentially, there are none. We're not even a level 1 yet, so we can't manipulate energy on this level, so don't be worried. We're not ripping a hole in space-time. Once we figure that out, rest assured, I will do it, and we will all die. Don't worry.
That's kind of funny, but the thing is, there actually are people doing this research. I know there was a Dr. Such-and-Such doing it out of Edinburgh, and
Dr. Daniel Faxio was his name.
Somebody wanted to write down in the article, such and such, creating miniature black holes. And people start to wonder, what the hell? How could they be doing this? Is this dangerous? Should we be letting them do this? Are we going to be the first to die if they rip a hole? Okay. For multiple reasons, and one of those reasons is the energy, like I was saying, or like I will say. But another reason is they're trying to analogously mimic the energy of a black hole, not the actual gravitationally warped space-time of a black hole. So in order to have a real black hole, it's a real singularity, which a star had to collapse for that, and then it creates the phenomena that happen from black holes that we know about, like at the center of our galaxy. But they're not doing that in that lab. They're using laser pulses to do 100 per second or something, and they're trying to match the energies to try to understand it better. So they're just doing research for various reasons. So keep in mind, they don't actually have a singularity, only analogous singularities, so to speak, if there were such a thing.
You think that's even possible?
No, we do not have the capability to do this, so don't worry about it. And we never will. So figure it out.
It was written last leap year.
According to this one, it says the Earth completes a full rotation in 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4.09 seconds. We don't even know the exact amount. We just know that it's somewhere below 24 hours. I'm sure for the purposes of scientific calculations, they have an accepted amount that they use. But since I'm not even doing calculations right now, I'm not even going to care, because I'm explaining the concept to you, not the specifics of the mathematics, per se. And so, essentially, why leap year needs to happen is that the Earth rotates about its own axis, and it also revolves around the Sun in our solar system. We are the third planet out. When it gets to a certain spot, the same spot again, when it revolves around, and when it rotates around, when it reaches that point, referring to a reference point, this day, on the day, this year, this time of revolution. So let's say this is the first time of revolution, and this was last leap year. So it goes around the Sun four more times. When we're keeping track of the exact same 3D grid point in space.
Good way to visualize.
Let's put this grid box around our solar system. The 3D grid point, the 0000 point of origin we are going to use, is the Earth at this time, at that time. And so that particular point 4 years later revolves around the Earth. Let's say everything in the solar system stays the same. The Sun stays in the same spot as well. We're not treating that as wobbling either for the Sun. The center of gravity to the Sun, as it relates to the center of gravity point from the Earth at that time, will move the next 4 years. So each 4 years, it moves a little. Each year, it moves a little. Next year, it moves a little, and so on. The next leap year, when we're seeing how far it moved, we know that it moved this amount, and that amount equals out to the inverse of why we have to add an extra day here and there. It's just a little over 365. So about every 4 years, we have to add a day to make that day 6 hours off. So each year, it's 6 hours off. And so it's the extra amount the Earth has to rotate in one day to still see the Sun directly overhead at local noon. So that's how we're able to figure out where is where and what is what. Because the point of that is the international dateline, and basically over there by London. Essentially, Europe is where they figure this stuff out at. So that's where they put their points of reference. And that also is where they figured out that D65 point for chromaticity when trying to figure out what is is a good white in dealing with display technology and colors.
Yeah, you went over all that back on episode 11 about colors and graphics.
So there are certain reasons that they came up with this stuff where they did, because that's where they did. That's all it is. The way that we can see stars out of our sky is affected by this, and it's really not that complicated of a thing. It's just something that wasn't understood back that many years ago. It has been a phenomenon that's been understood, that's been known about for millennia, but the Greeks knew about it. The Romans knew about it. They knew about it in the Dark Ages. They knew about it in the medieval times. They knew about it in the feudal days, and up until the point of when they decided to change it, they had a pretty decent understanding of it, and then what they changed it to was an even greater understanding. This is from the viewpoint of an American physicist in Nebraska, in the middle of the Midwest, in the middle of the United States, in the middle of the Northern Continent, in the Western Hemisphere, in the Northern Hemisphere. It's 40 degrees north, 96 degrees west. More precisely, it's 40.881 degrees north and 96.667 degrees west. And so that gives the geodesic of the location where I'm currently broadcasting out of, which essentially tells you the point on the planet Earth where I am recording the radio waves that I'm going to be beaming to its final location where you can hear this. We don't want to have to add any embolisms to our timelines because that's just retarded. Doesn't it sound bad to have an embolism? That sounds like a brain burst, a cardiopulmonary embolism. But what an embolism is something you have to put into a segment of time calculation to make it work right. And so they added embolisms into their calendars, which essentially is a leap day. So a leap day is an embolism in our calendar that's already been done. So I don't want to have to add any other constants to these calculations. In fact, I want to get rid of constants and get rid of infinities entirely. And so we can use these tricks to get around all the problems we have with these phenomena and dealing with how to calculate the numbers correctly.
Lots of stuff about this leap day stuff. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that matters, but
they got really good at making timepieces.
There's also some other nuances of stuff we could mention. One cool thing.
I can think of more, but
there's a lot of different things, but one kind of cool thing is they had like a perpetual calendar watch. And so watchmaking has always been a thing of science because it's such a complicated thing. For a watch to keep track of the leap year mechanism in the Gregorian calendar, it has to have mechanical memory. 1,461 days, 4 years. And so there's a bunch of gears and stuff that are required to create this mechanical timekeeping device. And so really, they've mostly perfected these. There are always new, slimmer versions that are incorporating corrective systems that require less corrective action from the user over time. One of the best ones can keep track of time all the way to the year 2100. That's longer than most of us are going to be alive. It's essentially going to be good to go. What about if somebody has an old clock in 500 years and it's one of these clocks? So a lot of these have lunar phases and other things on them, and that's pretty badass. If they had these things back then, you guys would have been having a heyday.
Let's not get too deep into all that. Maybe do a podcast on it later.
It's kind of a cool thing that watches can get so complicated because there's different kinds of calendars, secular calendars, annual calendars. There's little tricks that people like to do on these watches. They call them retrograde jumping. When a dial goes from one thing to another, and it might even be counterclockwise, which is why they would call it retrograde. And so most of the people don't care so much about these moon phases and other things like that, but if you really want to know, it's there. So this is actually kind of cool.
Anything else?
I guess there's not really much else, but
there are many references that are much older too. What were you saying about that New York paper?
The Albany Law Journal.
Oh, yeah.
This is from January 24th, 1880.
There has been many mentions regarding this leap day idea throughout history.
And so they're still talking about England and colonial shit. But this is talking about an overruling of something, of a decision. And the way they speak is kind of similar to this. They quote probably some very early correspondence that sounds very colonial or very English in nature. But it went something like this. The king unto his justices of the bench greeting. Know ye that where within our realm of England, it was doubted of the year and day that were meant to be assigned unto such persons, being completed, when and from what day in the year, going before unto another day of the year following. The year and day in a leap year ought to be taken and reckoned how long it was. And so,
English such as that feels quite normal to me. this slash and dash styled English that you all seem to speak these days still surprises me oft.
So what did you even get out of that? They're just saying pay attention to it and what the leap year is, and this has implications for contracts that they get paid per month, per year, per day. And so obviously on a normal non-leap year month, 28 days, you're getting paid a monthly wage for 28 days. So are you getting free stuff? I mean, who cares? The month is that length for a certain reason, and we're not going to get into the calendar that deep. But for now, this is what we got, so we're going to go with it. And so this wraps up what we need to discuss regarding this leap year and how it relates to time and calendars and how we need to take a look at this stuff before we get further into calculations that require very precise measurements of time. So that is it for Quantum Foam, episode 15.
Quantum Foam.
The Zeroth Wave Disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.